North Idaho News of the Week is brought to you in part by Evergreen Realty, commercial and residential property listings. Online at evergreen-realty.com. Good morning. You've tuned into North Idaho News of the Week. It's Friday, December 5th. I'm Jack Peterson. I'm here with Chris Bessler as usual. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Jack. And how are you today?
I'm doing very well. You know, I'm in the holiday spirit.
Yeah. Well, hey, we got a big holiday thing happening tonight.
That's right.
Yeah, the holiday spectacular.
That is tonight. Yeah. I'm excited to go over and start setting things up over at the Panada Theater basically right after I finish up here.
Yeah, and it is a live broadcast. People can tune in and hear this. It's like a Christmas variety show.
Mm-hmm.
But even better, come to the Panada. What,
yeah.
And what time does it start?
Starts at 7 o'clock. Yeah. Doors open at the Panada at 6. You can come over. We'll have some hot apple cider and cookies prepared by the KRFY volunteers. And then, of course, there are concessions provided by the Panada Theater. Yeah, the show starts at 7 o'clock sharp, and it is a live broadcast.
And you will be up on the stage.
I shall be. Yes, I will
be. So anybody that's wanted to put this disembodied voice to a face can come and...
Well, there's worth price of admission right there, which is only $10, by the way.
And, that's right. And that's going to be going to both the Panada and KRFY. So.
Yes. And yes, goes to a worthy cause, and kids get in free too, kids 12 and under.
And I will say, I've been the last two, and they were really terrific.
Yeah. We've got a pretty good show set up.
Well, we'll swing around and talk about that later.
Okay, good idea. Good idea. Yeah, let's get to the news, for goodness sakes. We're in the studio with Chloe Cochran and Jack Freeman, both of the Bonner County Daily Bee. Chloe covers the county and the courts, and Jack's beat is City Hall and education, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we're talking about the news. I'll start kind of geographically large to small is the way I tend to like to do it. The U.S. in the state and also in the country, the U.S. Senator Jim Risch has announced he'll run again in 2026, which I believe would make him, if he were to be elected and serve his full term, I think he would be, if not the oldest, among the oldest sitting senators.
Pushing 90?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There are older members of the Senate. I think there's four older members of the Senate right now, but none of them have announced that they'll be running again for re-election yet. So he would, if he were to win and run again and serve his full term, he would be the oldest. Bonner County is reconsidering the proposed Deerfield subdivision off of Baldy Mountain Road. I think they tabled that motion. They approved a few other subdivisions. All this in light of, we'd like to talk a little bit about, these are some subdivision moves that are taking place under the new MLD regime. The no longer minor land divisions. They are now they're now called short and long subdivisions, that's the new scheme. And we'll see if Chloe can fill us in on how things have changed, if they have changed at all, if there's any impact yet. In the ambulance district, which has undergone some financial difficulties in recent years, they have approved a letter of intent from Columbia Bank outlining the ambulance district's intention of securing a revenue anticipation note of $500,000, which will relieve some of their budgetary woes for, I think, the next 6 months during the period of time that they're not receiving any money from taxation. In the city of Ponderay, the city council voted unanimously to pursue a federal Build, BUILD grant at its meeting on Monday evening for surface transportation projects. In neither city, I guess this is county news technically, but it's under Jack Freeman's byline, a public health, no, it would be city. I think it's halfway in the city. Chuck Slough is what I'm talking about. Trying to draw the boundary. Chuck Slough is no longer under a public health advisory. There were some toxic algae blooms that were the Department of Health and Welfare issued a public health advisory for over the summer. Now it is cold enough and the health advisory has been lifted just in time for ice skating to start on Chuck Slough. In Sandpoint, the city council discussed reintroducing the city administrator position at their meeting on this past Wednesday. An interesting development that we will be talking about in further detail very shortly. This is not exactly brand new news, but since we haven't mentioned it on the air yet, I will mention that North Boyer Road is indeed open following a culvert failure. I think that opened about 3 weeks ago. But they did manage to, the city of Sandpoint managed to get that done just in time for Schweitzer to open. And Schweitzer is open on December 3rd, a little late this year, but Schweitzer is now officially open. This will be their first full weekend, and people can get there by the usual route from Sandpoint, taking North Boyer Road. In Sandpoint, the Planning and Zoning Commission will, I guess they did consider, continue discussions this week, and I haven't read the analysis of what they discussed yet for a change in city code that would double the amount of space that buildings can take up in residential zones. Planning and zoning also considering a substantial overhaul of short-term rental regulations within city limits that we have talked about a little bit on these airwaves. But they are discussing totally removing the current cap of 35 units on short-term rentals available in the city without that are not owner-occupied. And there is more news. I'll mention a couple of items here from the Reader. For one thing, the County Commission approved modifications to the conditional use permit for the Idaho Club Marina, but this was not unexpected, kind of a matter of course. This wasn't approval of a new development or anything like that.
Yeah, and I think that was actually something that happened a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, I guess it was almost a month ago now, November 12th. The Sheriff Wheeler has weighed in on the state level cuts to Medicaid, and as the state undergoes its own budgetary woes, among other things. The state cuts to Medicaid will affect mental health care, and the Idaho sheriffs have actually sent a letter to the governor and the legislature announcing their significant public safety concern, in quotes. And Sheriff Wheeler here in Bonner County has endorsed that message as well. He 100% agrees that cuts to mental health care will endanger public safety. That's news, because I guess Sheriff Wheeler, you never know where he's going to well, come down on some of these.
Tends to be conservative on these sorts of things, but as he points out, it can be a direct impact where likely deputies are going to be dealing with folks that are having mental health issues that might have been headed off with more treatment through the Medicaid system. Yeah,
and it kind of takes that. It takes the burden from the state to the county, but it doesn't. It lifts the burden.
That's the sheriffs, the state sheriffs association.
That's their position on the matter. Okay, I'd like to start with Mr. Freeman here talking about that city council meeting where the city administrator position was reintroduced to the surprise of some, I would say, that this city administrator position, which has was eliminated only at the beginning of, what was that?
Last January.
Only at the beginning of last January. So within the last 2 years, we had a city administrator. The position was eliminated entirely. And well, it's
eliminated
now,
when Jeremy came on. So I guess it's been more than a year, right?
Yes, more than a year.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, more than one, but less than two. And it was part of Mayor Grimm's campaign for office was that he opposed the then structure of the city government. City administrator of the time, Jennifer Stapleton, resigned in January of 2024. And the city has operated without a city administrator ever since, structuring it under a structuring the administration underneath the mayor and department heads for the various for the different.
Basically, that's how it was structured when Jeremy himself was a planning director.
Mm-hmm.
We had a what they call a strong mayor plus the department heads running their various departments. Yeah. And then all changed up when they decided to hire an administrator.
And where do we want to start? Do we want to talk about the position was controversial for sure. I mean, that's I don't think that the mayor would have run on that subject if it wasn't, and then he was elected. So you know, in part, this is surprising to see this quickly. They're going back to it, but it's not exactly they're not talking about exactly the same thing. How would you characterize that meeting, Jack? How was the city council meeting and the discussion of this city administrator position on Wednesday?
I would say surprisingly calm. I think we're talking about a pretty controversial issue that even some city council members ran on, you know, not having a city administrator anymore, along with Jeremy.
That's right. Yeah, it wasn't just Mayor Grimm who was elected at that time, but Schreiber and Duquette both were pretty vocally opposed to just the existence of the position.
Yeah, and so the discussion was fairly calm. I think really the only emotion that was shown, I think, was from the mayor, who just really kind of wanted to have his say and let the council know where he stood. I think, you know, to really have this conversation, we have to talk about why they're discussing it at all. The council president, Deb Rule, has been very clear that they're discussing this because of a email that the mayor sent to the council in June, asking for a pay increase to continue working his current level, which was about three or more days a week. And he said basically that continuing to work at that level and do his day job with his planning business was just not going to be feasible anymore. And so what the council took that as is now the city is kind of left without a leader on most days. The mayor did say that he works about 2.5 days a week still after not receiving a pay increase. But the council is basically like, well, who's here? Who's in charge when you're not here? And that has kind of reignited the discussions of a city administrator, of somebody who could be there full time and manage his vision. There's also discussion of, you know, what if the next mayor doesn't have Jeremy's qualifications, right? He has a lot of planning, a lot of city knowledge. Mm-hmm. I mean, it could be anybody. And I don't know how many people have planning knowledge in the city. It's probably not a lot of people who want to give up 4 years of their life, right, to just be mayor and not make a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of how this discussion has popped up. I'd say the council meeting discussion was cautious. I think they understood that this is a hot topic, that people aren't in love with the idea. There was public comment at the meeting that was still saying, no, we don't want an unelected bureaucrat. We don't want a city administrator back, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the council is taking a cautious approach, but just opening the door at all, I think we will continue to see more discussion of this in the future as they kind of look for answers, especially as the mayor heads into the back half of his term. They talked a lot about succession planning, mm-hmm. right? We have to be prepared for when the mayor leaves. And he said at that meeting that he's not planning on running mm-hmm. again. So
mm-hmm.
the plan should be for a new mayor who probably doesn't have that experience. So I think we'll see that kind of heat up a little bit. as we head into the latter half of the mayor's term.
Mm-hmm. That's probably the first time we've actually said on the radio that Mayor Grimm is not planning on seeking another term. Also,
he actually made this announcement.
He said he's not planning on running at the meeting.
I've heard that rumor, but I don't think we've ever seen it officially reported. So there you go, a little news.
So what was the tenor of the council on this question?
What I kind of got from it was they would like to explore it and do it cautiously. So. They would like to see more guardrails in place. There were a lot of questions about salary. We can get, maybe if we have time, we'll talk about the Medicaid cuts, but, Jeremy Grimm brought that up and said, listen, next year's budget is probably going to be even tighter than last year's. Mm. And on the state side, it's going to continue shrinking the city's budget. And so in order to bring the city administrator back, we're going to have to make cuts somewhere and find money for them. And that was something as well that I think the council was very aware of and cautious of. So I think that all of them were very open to the idea, but none of them were like full steam ahead. Let's get a city administrator in, 2 weeks.
Yeah. would you say everyone was open to the idea? Anyone came out opposed to it, or?
Seems like Kyle Schreiber from your story had some questions.
He had some questions for sure. I think Rick Howarth had some questions. Mm-hmm. Even Joel Spiro mentioned some questions that he would like to see answered, like how are they going to pay for it? Like what would their roles and responsibilities be? But I don't think anybody doubted that having an extra person at the head of the city to guide the vision and, prepare for the future is a bad idea. I don't think they were outright rejecting the idea of a city administrator. They just want to do it maybe a different way.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well that one's going to come up, I'm sure, repeatedly.
I would think so. I'm a little considering how heated it was at the time. I'm pretty surprised at how calm it sounds like this meeting was. Without strong feelings against it coming up in the meeting. And nobody,
I would say that's because, we had a city administrator that was unpopular with a lot of people. And rightly or wrongly, because a city administrator has to make a lot of decisions that you're going to end up rubbing people the wrong way. Mm-hmm. And now it's more, it's a little vaguer. We're talking about a position, not an individual.
Yeah.
So,
good point. Let's see. Let's talk a little bit about county business going on in the county. Yeah, we have reported that they changed the minor land division rules in county zoning law or county zoning code, I guess. But have you seen effects of that at this point? Is this coming up in conversation when things come before the county for approval or disapproval?
Yeah, I would say not yet, just because it was just approved not that long ago. So, and I would also say there was a moratorium for better part of the year. So a lot of people couldn't apply for MLDs anyways.
Yeah.
So any of the processes that were kind of submitted and everything that are going through with, they're kind of trickling out, I would say. So there's not a whole lot of talk about minor land divisions anymore. and now, they switched it to short and long plats.
Yeah.
So it's pretty generalized. If you got 10 or less subdivisions or parcels that you want to split, then it'd be short. And then 10 or more, then it'd be a long plat. So not a whole lot.
Yeah. But we haven't seen any... anybody come before the county, with a new subdivision, I guess.
So the short subdivision would be for taking a piece of property and splitting it up to 10 times.
Up to 10, yeah.
And how big does a piece have to be to split it that many times? Do you know that off the top of
your head? I don't. Honestly, I think it depends on the property itself and whatever zone it is in.
Is there any kind of family requirement at one point?
So a lot of people are confused because originally when the moratorium was in place, it was on MLDs and family exemptions. However, they decided to take the family exemptions part out of the moratorium. So people can still go about dividing their land that way. And that's giving property to mother, father, daughter, granddaughter, stepchildren, stuff like that. So it's a little confusing, but yeah.
Let's see. We talked a little bit about the, I mentioned the ambulance district. They are getting a revenue anticipation note of $500,000, which I guess relieves them a little bit.
Yeah, so that one, they're kind of in a unique position now, which is a great thing. They don't technically need those funds at all. So I think their projection for the end of January is about $500,000. But what that anticipation note does is it's like a safety net. So if something were to go wrong, whatever, they miscount, not that they're going to, you know, but there's that safety net of $500,000 just in case things go wrong.
Yeah.
But they're doing good for themselves considering, you know, this time last year.
Right. Have they, does it seem like they've kind of righted the ship? I mean, are there their budget is starting to make sense?
So they have monthly meetings with the county, and each time they do like projected budget. And I would say they're sitting comfortable at that like $500,000 cash flow, and yeah, they're working their way up. They've definitely separated themselves from the county in most ways. So it's cool to see them do that so quickly.
Right. The ambulance district is still the structure is still that they're the county commissioners are the governing body.
Yes. Still,
even though they're not technically a county department.
Yeah. They're the board.
Yeah.
Yep.
Always interesting. Let's see. Hey, Jack, can you tell us, or either one of you, I guess, tell us about what Pondere is doing, what they're pursuing that grant for, what they would use the funds for in the build grant.
Yeah, so I wasn't. There was not much discussion of that at the council meeting. Mm-hmm. They just kind of chose to pursue it. I know that they got a build grant in 2020, I believe, and that was for their Lakeshore Access project.
Yeah,
which I assume would probably be where these funds would go.
Yeah,
but they have a lot of. They've been talking a lot at these recent council meetings about street issues, like on Bonner Mall Way and Kootenai Cutoff Road. So I think you could see those dollars go to a lot of places. I believe that they were awarding a contract to Welch Comer to write the grant and everything like that. So there might be more discussions at future council meetings about where exactly they want to put that money, but they chose that they would like to pursue it.
Okay. Let's see. Let's talk a little bit, I guess, about the planning and zoning. What decisions have they arrived at, or if no decisions, what's been the content of the conversation at the planning and zoning meetings?
No decision yet. Mm-hmm. But I guess if we want to put it all on our calendars, the December 16th, they'll have a public hearing to discuss these lot regulation changes that they've been discussing now for a couple of months. Really, it got brought to my attention by a commissioner about a month ago. But basically what they're looking at is expanding the impervious surface. Mm-hmm. That's tough.
Yeah.
In residential zones from 35% to 70%. So, and the intended change is, at least from what the city has said, is they're looking to expand density in residential zones. There's a couple of other minor changes that I won't get into because I know we don't have a ton of time right now to increase density. But that's one way that the planning staff is really looking at adding more housing supply and increasing affordability in Sandpoint. There's been concern from some of the commissioners that when you allow somebody could just get a really, really big lot and build a really big house, they call it like the McMansion concern. Somebody's going to build these crazy big homes. And that's something that they've been that's really the main concern that they've been working through with the commission is, okay, how can we increase density and also not allow people to build these gigantic homes that might ruin neighborhood character?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Are there options for that? Something, you know, can you say, you know, the certain percentage is allowed for multifamily developments, but not for single family homes?
Sorry about that. Let me correct myself. Jason Walker just texted me. It's the impervious surface is already 70%. This is the max building footprint.
Oh, okay.
To allow more living space.
I see. Okay, so impervious surface would be everything but basically lawn and green space.
Yes.
Right, more or less. And then, so then you were saying the house, the living space is, go ahead.
Yes, so they could add like an ADU or expand their home a little bit to add an extra room,
right?
Kind of a thing. So you could see more people living in one home or like an ADU for people to rent out, which would provide more housing in the area.
It's an accessory dwelling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, accessory dwelling unit, sorry.
Yeah.
So that's from my understanding of it. I'm still working through with a lot of code changes, obviously.
Yeah.
But the idea of it is to try and increase density, but the commission has had some concerns about increasing that building footprint size.
Yeah. Planning and zoning at their previous meeting in November, one of their November meetings, I know they postponed moving on that, the lifting the cap on the short-term rental regulations. Did they discuss that at the December 2nd meeting?
That was not discussed. Okay. No, they were just focusing on these lot regulation changes. I don't know if the STR thing will be brought back up yet. I think the city is still working on that to get what the commission wanted, which I think we discussed a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
So we're running out of time here. Let's squeeze in one more, though. I'm curious, Chloe, tell us a little bit about this remodel that's was discussed by the county commissioners for the administration building.
Yeah, it's been in talks for a little while. Basically, they just kind of came to the conclusion that they needed more ADA accessible locations for the treasurer's office is the main
for
thing.
People in wheelchairs needs like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So the treasurer's office, they noted was a big one. That's the big thing that'll change is that'll move to the first floor hypothetically. And then that will allow people to kind of spill out into the entryway instead of blocking the elevator. And then another thing that was also discussed was the elevator itself.
It doesn't work.
I guess. I mean, it has when I've been in there.
It's been a few years since I've been in there and tried to use the elevator. But
I guess, was it a year ago or so? And I could be wrong when I say this, but it stopped working for like a month.
Oh, I see.
And as a three-story building, that's not good, you know? So they're talking about remodeling that and just making the flow better for people to come in and access the departments they need. Pretty easily. Mm-hmm. So that is in discussion.
So the engineering department's requested to get some bids on this.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. At least three bids on it. And they're going to be outreaching to companies as well outside of our newspaper. But and kind of going from there, they won't have a quote on how much it's going to cost. So there's some hesitancy there by some commissioners. So we'll just wait and see.
You got to be careful when you go into a remodel job. The county remodeled the courthouse, and all the county functions used to be in what's currently the courthouse, including the jail was there. The jail, commissioners, the whole thing was all in that courthouse.
Wow.
That was before they purchased this federal, that used to be the federal administration building in town.
Yeah.
When they decided to remodel that, it went way over budget. I think several million. I don't have that number in front of me.
Yeah.
But they started out thinking it's going to be a lot less than it ended up costing. So I'm sure they're going to want to tread very carefully there.
Oh, yeah. Well, especially with it being an older building, the admin building, and them not really knowing, like, the electrical situation and just things like that and the capacity to move what they want to move.
I don't know. Has there been any kind of asbestos identified in the building? Do you know that?
I don't know that.
That's something that they ran into, I think, with the old courthouse. And
Oh, gosh.
A lot of expense. But anyways.
Yeah.
I'll throw out one more thing. So another hot topic that's coming up for the city, I know, will be a discussion of the how to use the RV park at City Beach. And there's public workshop coming next Saturday, the 13th. It's going to be at the, I want to say the JER Sports Center, for the shorthand for the James E. Russell Sports Center, from I think 9 to 9:30 to noon. Yeah. So folks that are, was a lot of discussion about that at the city council not too long ago.
Yes, there was a lot. And I will mention as well very quickly that the short-term rentals, there will be a public hearing on the 16th. So that public and planning and zoning commission meeting going to be a big one for the future of city regulations.
Tuesday the 16th. Okay.
Okay. And Saturday the 13th for the RV park. And we did interview this week Brian Averill of Averill Hospitality.
You sure did, Chris.
And you can hear that, the recording of that on our website at KRFY.org. And he does talk about the company, gave us some history on the company itself, as well as, you know, various things, issues that have arisen in their plans for rebuilding the hotel there.
Yeah. We're going to leave it there for now. But yeah, you can find that on, find that conversation with Brian Averill on our website right now. You can come and, if you just haven't had enough community radio yet, come on down to the Panada Theater tonight and see us live on stage.
Holiday spectacular.
It's going to be a good one. Yeah. I'm very confident. I mean, my own role in it is I do have a part to play, and I'm a little nervous about that. But but I'm very confident that it's going to be a really great show, because I think we've done the hard work of booking really talented local performers, and that work is already behind us. It's going to sound great, and it's going to look really cool. But you can only see it in person. This is not a video event. This is a you can tune into the radio, but you can come down and see it at the Panada Theater.
Yeah, catch it one way or the other.
Yeah,
the best way to come to the Panada.
But it will be. It's going to be very good on to listen to as well.
Yeah.
So we look forward to saying hi to all of our guests on the radio as well.
Live radio. On stage.
Okay. Time now for Otto's Eclectic Mix. Quick weather report. I'm excited to see that it's going to snow at least this morning, and hopefully it stays snow. 100% chance of precipitation today, and let's hope it stays snow and not rain. Here's an appropriate song to kick things off.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is...